I want to ask for your prayers today as I stand before you here for a little while and try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. If you have your Bibles today and would like to read along with me, I'm going to be reading some scripture found in the 13th chapter of Numbers. So if you would, please turn there to Numbers chapter 13, and we'll begin reading here in a moment with verse 26. Going to be reading about the account of the time when the children of Israel had come there to Canaan, and they had sent, Moses had sent spies into the land to spy it out and to see what they could see. And they went there and they spent 40 days there in the land, and they had taken grapes and pomegranates and figs, and they had returned after 40 days, and they had brought this fruit back with them. And so where I want to begin reading with verse 26 is them coming to Moses to give their report of what they had seen after they returned from the land of Canaan. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men went up with him, but the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Now that's reading from Numbers chapter 13 through the end of that chapter and the first nine verses of the 14th chapter of Numbers. And I want to use a title today, and that being, So You Saw a Few Giants. So You Saw a Few Giants. There's one thing that I want to mention in the beginning of this, and I want to try to speak about several of the things that we have looked at here in the scriptures today. But when these spies were sent into the land of Canaan to check things out, in fact, the whole Exodus, as far as that goes, there was one thing, and this is what I want us to focus on today, and this is the thought that the Lord has really given me in this message today. There was one thing here that was really important. It wasn't necessarily that the land was flowing with milk and honey or that it had all these fruits. That was a wonderful blessing that God had promised them. You know, He had told them before that, before they ever went and confirmed that for themselves, God had told them that it would be that type of land. But it didn't matter what was there or who was there nearly as much as the one thing that really mattered was it was the will of God for these people to take the land of Canaan. Amen. This was God's plan, and this was God's command, and this is what God expected them to do, and that's what really counted. That's what was really important. I wonder sometimes, and I want you to think about this also with me this morning. I wonder sometimes in our day, if we often come to the point, because I believe what had happened here with Israel, when we look at this nation of people right here at this point, they had traveled for a long time to get here. There were several things that happened along the way, and those of you who study the Bible know this as well as I do. There were several things that happened along the way that discouraged them and scared them, and they always seemed to have this same mindset of whenever that something like that would happen, they would say, well, we should have stayed in Egypt. You know, we should have stayed there. There we were, you know, there we had food, and there we, though we were in slavery, at least we had this and we had that. And that always seemed to be what they would fall back on whenever they would come up against something that tried them. Well, you know, we should have just stayed in Egypt. I mean, they would murmur against Moses and against Aaron, and essentially what they would do is they would whine and complain and blame God for having brought them out into this wilderness. But after, you know, after the things that they had gone, and but not only did they face trials and obstacles along the way, but they also saw some amazing things. They saw the amazing power of God. They saw Him leading them and manifesting His power, and they saw God protecting them and blessing them. I mean, they witnessed His protection there at the Red Sea. They witnessed His provision with the manna and the quails. They saw some amazing things. And after going through this, they had reached the point, I believe, they had reached a point where they were standing right at the threshold of great victory. And I wonder sometimes if we are, in our day, if we are not too much like Israel. I wonder sometimes when God brings us to a certain place and we are just about to gain the victory. I mean, we are standing right there on that threshold and we are just about to see things bust loose and we're just about to be victorious if we don't lose sight of it and end up not gaining the victory that the Lord has to give to us. Sad thing when you really think about it, when you think about them traveling through this desert region and you think about the things that had happened along the way, and for them to get there and be standing right there at the border of that land that God had promised them, and then say, well, we can't do it. We can't do it. They came back and they said, well, you know, the land that we went in there to search out, the land of Canaan, you know, there's some great big men in there. I mean, we look like grasshoppers before them. And, you know, we saw the sons of Anak, we saw the giants. And they decided within themselves, most of them anyway, they made the foolish decision within themselves that we cannot do this. But let me tell you something, folks. Whenever that God is leading us towards something, whenever that God has promised His people something and He is leading us toward that, you can rest assured that God has the plan whereby we can make the conquest. God had a plan. Just as sure as it was His will to bring these people to this point, just as sure as it was His will for them to possess the land of Canaan, God had the plan for them to be able to do so. I mean, He proved that conclusively with their taking of the city of Jericho. Jericho was a city that was, it was a walled city. It had great walls of defense. But God proved to them that through His power, He could bring the walls down. God had a plan for giving them the land of Canaan. It didn't make any difference if there were giants there. It didn't make any difference what was there that scared them or that discouraged them. The fact is that God had promised them for hundreds of years before these people, these particular people were even standing there at the border, God had promised even to Abraham that He was going to give these people this land. He was going to give it to them for a possession. I wonder, and you know, think about what happened here. When they got there, they saw these giants. They saw the things that they thought were an obstacle to them. And, you know, it brings the question to my mind anyway. I wonder if they thought that when they left Egypt and they started on the Exodus and that they were going out to go to the land that God had promised to give them as a possession. I wonder if they were laboring under the illusion that they were going to make the Exodus and they were going to pass over the Jordan there into the land of Canaan without ever facing any obstacles. And I'm going to say this, if that was their mindset, it was wrong. And I wonder sometimes if perhaps we're not the same way. When we, the things that we are pressing toward, the things that we know that God would have us to do, I wonder sometimes if we think within ourselves that we're going to make the journey and that we're going to do the will of God and that we're going to claim the victory, the things that God has promised us without obstacles. You know, I'll tell you what, friends, that's not realistic and that's not the way it's going to be. And the Lord Jesus Christ never promised His church that they would have an easy time doing His work and doing His will. He never promised that to the children of Israel. He never promised them when He brought them out on the Exodus. He never promised them that there wouldn't be hardships. I think today, far too often, that we live in a time when people want to serve the Lord as long as it doesn't cost anything, as long as it doesn't bring any hardships. We have this idea, I'm afraid oftentimes, of a life of service without sacrifice. And folks, that has never been true about serving God. In fact, there's there's something that you can rest assured of, that if you do try to live your life for God, if you do try to serve the Lord, if you do try to do the will of God in your life, you can be sure that there will be obstacles. You can be sure that there will be things that will scare you and will discourage you, because the devil is going to do everything that he can to distract us from the goal. He's going to do everything that he can to make your path hard. You can be sure that there will be hardships if you really are headed towards that God would have you to do. You know, what I really love in this, and this is what I desire, and this is what I pray for. In my Christian life, I would rather be like Caleb than to be like the ones that came out of there and said, we can't do it. I want you to notice, when they came back and they began talking about the fact that there were strong people dwelling in that land, that the cities were walled, that they had walls that were very great, and that they saw these giants there, the sons of Anak there, these giants. Listen to what Caleb said in verse 30. I want you to get a picture of this. I want you to picture Caleb standing there and hearing these people say all of these things, bring up all of these discouraging facts, bring up all of these things that that might scare the children of Israel to death. And Caleb stood right there in the midst of all that. And it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I'd rather be like Caleb, wouldn't you? We may look at this and we may say, well, Caleb obviously was a man of great courage. No, I believe he was a man of great trust. I don't believe Caleb said what he said because of his great bravery. He said what he said because of his great trust and his belief in God. He believed the Lord would give them what he had promised that he was going to give to them. Amen. And so, I can just picture that, and that's what the thought that I had when the title came to my mind. So you saw a few giants. I can just picture old Caleb standing there and them talking about that and saying, you know, we saw some giants in that land. I mean, we saw some men there that are men of great stature. And Caleb said, well, that's good. Let's go take it. Let's go take it. Let's go possess it. Do you think that we will make it through life without our own giants? No. But you know, for those of us in our day, we have the great consolation. We can take this blessed book. We can take the Word of God today. And though there are many things that we can read, but we have not but to turn there to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we can read there, and we ought to be able to get great courage and great consolation in that, because we can read there in the account of David and Goliath, and we can see just what an advantage that a child of God has, that when he's standing for the Lord and attempting to do the will of God, we can see in that we've got a great advantage over the giants that will stand before us. And folks, there's going to be obstacles, but listen, we ought to always be a people, we ought to always be a church that are of the mindset of doing what the Lord would lead us to do, doing what the Lord would impress upon us. It doesn't make any difference what it costs. It doesn't make any difference how much of a financial load that it's going to be, or how much time that it's going to take. If God told us to do it, then we need to do it, don't we? We need to do it. Because God has a way. When Jesus told his disciples to feed all of those thousands of people, they didn't have the provisions to do it, did they? They didn't have the provisions. And you know what? In a physical matchup, probably it's very true that the children of Israel were not physically able to stand against the sons of Anak, against those giants. But the point is, they didn't have to do that by themselves. Listen, and I've always loved this saying, whatever that it is, folks, whether it's in our individual life or whether that it's in our us as a church collectively, if God brings us to it, you can be certain that He's going to bring us through it. If it's God's will that we do something, then it's also God has a plan whereby we will accomplish that. And we need to remember that, and we need to always trust that, that it's God and His power that does it anyway. And David realized that, and that was his big advantage when he stood against Goliath. It wasn't the fact that he was a good marksman with his sling. That wasn't what David was relying upon anyway. He was depending and he was trusting the God that had delivered him from the bear and from the lion. And David believed that he would deliver that Philistine into his hands also. And I'll tell you what, I believe that's exactly what Caleb believed about the giants there in the land of Canaan. So what? So what? Big deal. So you saw some giants there. So who cares? Because God has promised us this land, and God is going to give us this land. We miss, I'm afraid, in our own individual lives, independently, collectively as a church, I'm afraid that we go through life and we miss out on so much of the goodness of God and the blessings of God, because we come right there to that point where it's right there at our fingertips. I mean, we are just about to have it. And then we see the giant, whatever that it is. We see the obstacle. We see that which is standing before us, but we ought to have never deceived ourselves in the first place into believing that it was going to be an easy road. If we're going to accomplish the will of God in our lives, it won't be that. I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read to you how easy that the Apostle Paul had it in trying to serve the Lord. Listen, 2 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 24, Paul talks about things that had happened to him. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Does it sound to you like Paul had an easy road? Does it sound to you like it was a piece of cake for him to serve the Lord and accomplish God's will in his life? Paul faced all of these things on his journey. But yet he kept looking towards the goal and pressing toward the mark. I'm going to tell you what, folks, you and I, we that have been saved, and are members of the Lord's church, we are part of something that was founded upon suffering. The head of all of this, the head of the church, the head of the body, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Nobody ever suffered the way that he suffered in order to do the will of God in their life. And when he was headed towards Calvary, and don't be deceived and don't be surprised if you're trying to live for God and you're trying to do the things that the Lord would have you to do, and you've heard the voice of God speak to you and you're pressing towards what he is telling you, don't be surprised when the hardships come. Don't be surprised when you step out and you see the giants in the way and you see the obstacles and you see the things that are threatening and the things that are discouraging and the things that you fear. Don't be surprised when those things are there, because they're going to be there. You may as well know that from the very onset, in the beginning of the journey, that the devil is going to try to place every obstacle in your way that he can to keep you from reaching the place where God would have you to be. Jesus, he suffered in this world. Nobody ever lived here in the flesh whose heart was as pure as the Lord's. Nobody ever lived a life that was as good as the life that he lived. There's never been a person, there's never been any other person live here in the flesh that could even come close to comparing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he suffered. And he suffered, and I want you to know something, and I've said this before, sometimes through the years, in pastoring, it amazes me sometimes how easily that we are deterred. It amazes me sometimes how that we will let the least little things discourage us and get in the way. Well, I couldn't go to church today because it was raining too hard, or because it was too cold. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful that Jesus had a lot more resolve when he was going to Calvary than what we often have today. I mean, there was nothing that was going to stop him. The devil tried everything that he could, but there was nothing that was going to stop Jesus from going to the cross and making the sacrifice that would atone for our sins. Nothing. But we get so easily... the truth is, when you study about these people, you read about the Israelites. I know it's true for me anyway. When you read about the Israelites and you read about the things they do, you come to the realization that one of our big problems is we've got too much Israelite in us. We do. We've got too much Israelite in us. And we can read about them and we can say, gosh, look at what they did and how they turned against God and how they could be so discouraged. But I'm afraid that oftentimes that we are the same way. I'll tell you what, the Bible tells me in the book of Revelation, in the first few chapters there of Revelation, where the Lord is talking to these churches, he said over and over, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Do you think the Lord can talk to us today and tell us what to do and instruct us what to do and what his will is,
and make promises to his people today the way that he always has? Well, certainly, God still does those things. God has made many wonderful promises to his church. And I'll tell you what, folks, listen, whenever God moves upon us and whenever God speaks to us, the only thing that makes any difference is us pressing toward that which God has told us to do. The only thing that should have mattered to all of these people was, I don't care what's there. It doesn't make any difference what is in front of us. It doesn't make any difference what obstacles that we have seen there. So what if there were giants? Our God has told us that we are to take this land. And they should have took it. And I'll tell you what, when they got in there, they should have done what God told them to do when they got there. There were people there that God told them to destroy, and they should have destroyed them. And when they didn't, it caused them all sorts of problems. They got in Israel. You read about Israel, folks. I'm going to tell you something. They got into all kinds of trouble for having fellowship with people they were not supposed to have fellowship with. They got in all sorts of problems over that. But you see the result, don't you? Caleb and Joshua, even though they were way outnumbered, even though the masses were saying, we can't take the land, and here's Caleb standing up and said, well, I say we go in right now and possess it. But you see what ended up happening? It was Joshua and Caleb that got to go in, wasn't it? It wasn't those that came back with this negative report and this disbelief in their hearts saying, well, we can't take that land. We can't go and possess that land. I'm telling you that God got angry at that. You go on and read through the 14th chapter of Numbers there, and you'll find out that he did. The wrath of God arose against them for their attitude, and it wasn't those that disbelieved and those that discouraged the people. They weren't the ones that went in. It was those like Joshua and Caleb that believed God and said, we can do this. We can do this. Folks, I'm just going to tell you what I believe about God. I believe that whatever God speaks to his people, whether it's a few people or a lot of people, that whenever God speaks to his people and tells us what to do and tells us what his will is, it doesn't matter what it looks like out in front of us, we can do it. We can do it. The Lord's church would have been a lot better off through the years in many situations if they would have really believed that. We can do it. We can do it. Why? Why? If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. So what if they're giants? Don't be afraid of them. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Do you remember when the two went into Jericho? Do you remember what Rahab said to them? I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm not going to give you the exact words, but I'm going to tell you basically what she said to them. We are walled up here in Jericho, and we are scared to death of your God. That's what she told them. We, those of us that live here in Jericho, We have heard of the things that your God is doing among you, and we are scared to death. And that was their thought. Those, like I said, those men like Caleb and Joshua, that was their thought. We don't have to be afraid because the Lord will give this to us. And He will bring us into this good land, and He will give us what He has promised that He will give us. And it doesn't make any difference what we've faced, or it doesn't make any difference what we've yet got to overcome. Do you believe, and you can just think about this yourself, do you believe that there have been times in your Christian life when you just got right there? I mean, you were just right there. You were just right at the point of getting the blessing, but you fainted. Do you think that's happened at times to the church? Boy, we're just right there. I mean, we're so close. I mean, we're about to see great revival bust out here. We get to that point, and for some reason, we just lose out. We faint, and we don't get the victory. But it ought to be our desire, and I hope that it will be, to have everything that God would want to give us. I hear people sometimes, and there have been songs written, and I understand what they're saying. I understand the humility that people perhaps are trying to possess in that. But sometimes we hear songs about heaven. Well, just give me a little corner or something in heaven. I'll tell you what, when I get to heaven, I want everything that God has to give me. Everything. I want to see all of it. As we live here, we ought to desire to have everything that God desires to give us. Every blessing that He desires to give us, we ought to yearn for that and desire to have it. And God was going to give them a good land. He was going to give them many blessings. He was certainly going to give them a land that was much better than that desert that they had passed through, but they didn't end up there, most of them, because they just didn't believe that God would accomplish what He had promised them. So that's my message today, and I'll leave you with that. So you saw some giants. So what? So what? Nobody's as big as God. Nobody. Nobody can stay the hand of God, and nobody can stop Him from what He purposes to do. I wonder if anybody has a word on your heart. Anybody at all?